that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you this Saturday morning, April 2nd, 2016. The Passover is this evening. In the twilight, we welcome you here to Coffee with the Wranglers. I imagine we'll probably talk a little bit about some Passover this morning, but we'll say good morning first. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Lord. We know that He joins us as well because we gather in His name, that name of Jesus Christ. And we say good morning to the remnant as well. Beautiful sunrise here at the Radio Ranch. Not a cloud in the sky. Oh, there's one little one way out there to the east, but that's about the only one. Just this beautiful Wyoming sky. And well, we have the phone lines open, and we, I think, all have a few things to bring to the table this morning, but we'll open up in prayer first, and John, we'll ask you to do that.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you. Grateful, Lord, for this time that you set aside for us to come together, Lord, and to worship you and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts today, that the topics that are brought up are of some benefit to your people, the remnant. Lord, we see that we live in a dark and evil world. Help us to be that shining light, Lord. That shining light that people see and say, I want that.
Yes.
Lord, as we prepare for tonight's Passover, I pray that even now you prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive the truths that have been revealed. And Lord, this time of Passover tonight. Lord, convict your people who are called by your name to humble themselves, Lord, to let go of any unforgiveness, to die to their old lives and their old ways, to put you first. That's our prayer and our petition. And Lord, I pray that you would grant me a special anointing tonight. Lord, that I would be able to do a professional job and that it would be pleasing in your sight, but also pleasing to our pastor. Lord, that it would help to continue to remove the scales from your people's eyes and unstop their ears, and that it would continue to break that crust that the world has put upon so many people's hearts. Lord, the world continues to try to harden our hearts, and we ask that you would create in us a clean heart, Lord, and that you would cause our hearts to be soft, Lord, to once again care not only for ourselves and our families, but for our brethren. So many are out there that are hurting. So many people, Lord, that are yours, that do not know the truth. Lord, where can they turn? They can't turn to the politicians. They can't turn to the Judeo-Christian pastors. They can't turn to those that call themselves Christians for the most part, Lord. It's up to us, those that call themselves the remnant, to assume that responsibility to show them the truth that we've been privileged to learn these many years. And Lord, we stand upon the promise that in the last days, knowledge would increase. We see that you're fulfilling that promise, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray that this, the door day, Lord, would be in preparation for the Holy Spirit leading of this call for a solemn assembly in June this year, Lord. Pray that proper preparation would be made for this assembly, Lord, that you would give us the wisdom that we need to make those preparations. But most importantly, that you would prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls for that as well. Lord, we ask that the doors would be open for those that you want to be in attendance, but that the doors would be slammed closed for those who do not take this fight, spiritual warfare, seriously, Lord. We ask that the sin in the camp would be removed and any hidden idols would be exposed. Lord, we ask that it would be done privately first, but if people don't see it, then we just ask that you would expose it. Draw us to that place, Lord, of complete obedience, so that just as your word says, the disobedience of those that hate you and hate your people will be punished. It's through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, today leads right to the Passover. We will be observing the Passover this evening at the LaPorte Church of Christ, and we know we've got several families traveling and coming in to join with the local families here at the LaPorte Church of Christ. And we're gathering late this afternoon for some fellowship and a meal. And at 7 o'clock Mountain Time this evening, Saturday evening, April 2nd, we'll have a live video stream of our communion service like we do on Sunday mornings. And I guess it'll go about an hour longer if need be, but at least an hour. And so we encourage you to tune in there. Guys, I'm happy to report we have had quite a few people emailing in, verifying the dates, the times, you know, what time, what do I do? I know we've got people in California and in Oregon and in Florida and Georgia that I've spoken to that are going to be joining us tonight on the stream and participating in communion with us. and observing the Passover. And it is something that we are to be doing, that we are to do forever. And it's that time. And so we do our best to observe it.
We've had some conversation internally and been convicted of the fact that if you're not willing to take this seriously, this day, this door day, Passover, then it's going to be a prerequisite for coming to the call for the solemn assembly. But you say, well, how can you say that on the day of Passover? Well, the good news is, if for some reason you didn't make provisions, if for some reason you didn't take it seriously to keep the observance of Passover this evening, the good Lord, in his wisdom and grace and mercy, gives you a second chance in 30 days. But on that application, one of the questions is going to be, did you observe the Passover? And if you're a new found Christian, if you did not have any knowledge of that before that and you want to come, then that's another story. But if you've been a member of this body, a member of the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ for any period of time and did not take this seriously, you will not be able to come. It may sound harsh, but I think it's that important. If we're talking about coming to the place of complete obedience and we're not willing to be obedient in the small things, how can we be obedient in the larger things, which is what the goal of that solemn assembly is, to hear from the Lord what it is we are to do.
Well, and I don't even think that it's considered a small thing. I think it's considered actually a large thing. And I think it's one of the most, I think it is the most important day to be observed out of the year. You know, I thought that for a long time. I mean, you know, if you look at the scriptures, you know, God standing near the door, and when we recognize that the door represents Passover and keeping this day, that you know, it is what it does, is it basically takes you from one jurisdiction into another jurisdiction, and there's that transfer. You're sealed off with Christ from now until the next time you partake of Passover, and there's going to become a time where you're not going to be able to partake of Passover. You know, and you never know when the last Passover is going to be.
Yep.
You know, that's the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins right there.
It is. It absolutely is. And you know, in Exodus 12, in the first Passover, a couple scriptures here. It is the Lord's Passover, verse 12. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And our pastor taught us well. Those that were Hebrew, those that were Israelites then, if they didn't obey, they died. The firstborn died. It's as simple as that. That's the way it was. There had to be obedience.
I remember Dad when he would tell that story too. And, you know, he had a way of mixing humor and truth and stories, live stories that he had lived. But one of the things that sticks in my mind was how he would give the example of how the father said, oh, I'm supposed to take this blood and put it on the door or something, you know, and he would just dip the hyssop in the blood and just spatter it on the door and say, oh, that's good. And the oldest son would be sitting there and saying, Dad, I think we're supposed to put it on the doorpost.
Yeah, I think there's a little more to it.
Or is it little? Let's make sure we get plenty of it on there, Dad.
Let's get this right, Dad.
Right. And of course we know
that. Well, you know, you think about it, you know, we've got it so easy compared to what our forefathers had to do. I mean, we don't have to sacrifice a lamb. We don't have to take the blood and put it on. And we don't have to, there's a lot of things that we don't have to do.
Yeah.
And, You know, but the important thing is that you do it, you know, and that's what, I don't know, I mean, the most important thing to do, and as far as observing the Passover is recognizing that it's Passover day and partaking of communion, which is relatively simple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We understand today Christ is our Passover. The Bible tells us that. But it also tells us that we're to observe this day. And this day is to be a day of days for us, the Bible tells us. His word tells us. And we are to, it is to be an everlasting observation.
For our people it is.
It is. You know, Pastor even put out that because of 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, that even if you weren't a Christian yet, if you're not properly baptized, according to Acts 2:38, that you should still take communion on the Passover day. That verse, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, tells us that our Israelite forefathers, they ate the Passover meal and then were baptized when they went through the Red Sea. There really is no excuse. And John, I know we've talked this past week, I think we have done what we are supposed to do as a ministry and as Christians in putting the date out, in explaining where it comes from, in explaining the importance of keeping it. And that's in keeping in line with what our pastor did since 2001 in putting this information out and emphasizing to the people that this is, like you said, Jason, this is not a little thing. It really isn't. It is a very important thing. If you didn't believe it back in the days when our forefathers were in bondage in Egypt, you lost your firstborn. It was as simple as that. And if you don't believe it today, well, you may not enter in.
Going back to the the story of communion, basically, in 1 Corinthians, going to skip down to 28 and read a few verses there. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep, and we all know that sleep is death. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. Now this is the verse I wanted to look at, actually 32 and 33. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Verse 33. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Now, the thought that occurred to me was here probably about maybe 10 years ago or something, our pastor had realized that there was power in closed communion. There was power in only those who have been baptized properly, washed in the blood, born again of the water and the Spirit, were to partake of communion. It's the same thing as tonight. Only those who've been washed in the blood are to partake of communion. And then I believe that there's an empowering of those that call themselves the remnant, those that are obedient, those that take these things that have been revealed, not to the world, but to a certain group of people, seriously.
Yes.
This message tonight is Passover, a witness either for us or against us. And it's not for the masses, it's for the remnant.
Yeah. And you know, when at times throughout our biblical history, when the Passover was reinstituted, many laughed at it and mocked it. And many may today. I think fewer and fewer are, at least of the remnant. Again, by the number of emails and phone calls we've had here, there's a a big part of the remnant that are joining us, that are taking this seriously, that are preparing their hearts to seek God, to draw near to Him in humility, in repentance, and, you know, in obedience, in doing what He says do.
Yeah, it's encouraging that some of the remnant, they plan this months ahead, and there's families that get together, travel many hours,
yes,
to be with those of like mind, those that understand this truth, to partake as one. I was talking to our brother Howard in Alaska, and Captain Ron, he basically lives on a 26-foot or 36-foot sailboat in Valdez. But he knows, you know, he pretty much lives a quiet life on that sailboat. But every Passover, he makes the provisions, and he drives the 10 hours or whatever it is to be with Howard and his family, like-minded people, to follow the observance of Passover and to partake of communion with the body. He knows the importance of it.
Yeah.
And I talked to Curtis yesterday, and he made provisions to come out of his hole in the woods. He's back quite a ways back in the mountains, but no cell phone reception, no radio reception, no internet, nothing like that. And he traveled to another gentleman's house that was on the ministry, and got there yesterday, and he's making provisions, and they called me yesterday and told me that they were excited, and they were ready to have Passover with us, and we're going to be joining us today.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, folks, we encourage you to do that, to join us 7 p.m. Mountain Time tonight. That's 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern for the live streaming of the Passover service from the La Porte Church of Christ. And have communion at your house. Have it ready. Some unleavened bread, some grape juice mixed with water, or some fruit of the vine mixed with a little bit of water, and have it ready. And you can go back and read in Exodus 12 of the first Passover. And you can read, it was reinstituted. You can read in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 of where the people reinstituted. I think Numbers 9 tells about the history, or the anniversary of the second keeping of the Passover in the wilderness. And it was not a one-time event. It was something that we are to continue to observe. Now, Easter came in. I don't think we have time this morning to get off on Easter, but you know, that is not the same thing. That is a pagan holiday. It's not a Christian holiday. When you get back to the roots of that, but Passover is. Passover is the observance that we are to be keeping. Back in first.
Now that,
go ahead, John.
Go ahead. The thought occurred to me too. I was looking for things to speak about this morning, and we talked about it last week, and I think you and our brother Tim in Nebraska did a program on it regarding those temples of Baal that are being erected today, or this month.
Yes.
I don't think it's a coincidence that they're putting those temples up on Passover. They were put up last month on during Easter, but they are being put up during Passover. Remember how our pastor would always tell us that the enemies of God understand their Bible better than most Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole, you know, and our pastor, he prophesied about that very thing, you know, in his book, Baal Worship in America. If you don't have that book, folks, there's Baal temples being reconstructed in New York City and Trafalgar Square, London, England, this month.
And plans to put them up all across the country, all in all the major cities.
Baal arches, Baal temples.
Yeah. the other thing that is convicts me, what were we told specifically in the Bible to tear down the Baal temples in the Asherah? I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It may be that that may be the call. I don't know. But I think we need to be ready to heed that call and to be ready to listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance regarding that, because I know that if that's what we're to do, then God will protect us.
Amen. Well, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call, if you have a question or a comment, and we'll sure do our best to address that. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, it talks about that that passing through. Read it real quick. It says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." And you know, that in itself, you would think, would be enough to convince these New Testament-only so-called Christians that that Old Testament is important, because Christ was there with the children of Israel as they were walking through the desert. It says right there, they were drinking from that spiritual rock, which was Christ. And when they ate the Passover meal, these same people, when they had eaten the Passover meal, they escaped the wrath of God. They escaped it. And we read that in Exodus 12, that at least those that obeyed, they could have believed, like you said, John, they could have believed, well, you know, what he really meant by that was just a little sprinkling. That's plenty. That's what old, you know, Leroy down the road told me. That's all he's doing. And well, Leroy might not have any firstborn. Leroy might you know, be a creature of instinct created to be destroyed. Leroy might not want to pass through. He may not want to drink of that spiritual rock of Christ. But those that believed back in the days of the first Passover and obeyed, they escaped the wrath of God. That wrath that was poured out on the gods of Egypt in the way of a killer plague that came in and struck all the firstborn. And, you know, this land today has gotten as ungodly as Egypt was in those days. And, you know, the I think it does tie in what you mentioned, John, about that Baal worship and those Baal temples. You know, the Baal worship, from what I've seen in history, was homosexual and bisexual orgies, the sacrificing of their children into the burning hands of Molech. It was filthiness and degradation and just anything goes. And we see that in our land today. They might as well put Baal temples up, because the people are already worshiping Baal the same way they did thousands of years ago, with their filthiness, with their homosexuality, the child sacrifices that are rampant in the land. Why wouldn't God pour out his wrath on a people that participate and do that type of thing? And when his wrath is poured out, it won't be on all. There'll be some. There'll be those, I think you mentioned it, Jason, those wise virgins that have their house in order, that believe, yes, but also are obedient to the word. And they will be like those that came through the Red Sea. They will be delivered. We will be delivered.
Amen.
Well,
yeah,
yes.
And Joshua 24:26, this is a little bit of a hint of some of what I'll be talking about this evening. But anyways, it says, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God. Well, just like you said, Richard, it's pretty plain. Does it straight out? Jesus Christ is that rock.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the if you're and that's just about where we're at with the Bible reading plan. If you're reading through it, you see it's real easy to see in Joshua and Judges, and we've read through Numbers and then Joshua and Judges, and you see it's told time and time again. The foundation is built. That if you and it doesn't say time and time again, if you believe the Lord, if you believe what he says, you'll be saved. No, it says if you serve the Lord, if you don't do the things he says not to do, and if you do the things he tells you to do, you'll be blessed. And you know, God doesn't change. His word says that. And it's the same way today. That's right. It is yes, we're saved by grace. But once that happens, then what? Then you got to do. Then you have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Just like they told Joshua, just like he told them, you know, hey, here's this rock is a testimony. It's going to be a reminder that you are to do the things that your Lord tells you to do.
Yeah, it's, you know, to be a member of the remnant, it's not a small thing. It's escalating from being called to being chosen is the easiest way that I think I can describe it.
Yeah, continuing on the path.
Responsibility.
It is.
With great reward comes great responsibility.
Amen. Amen. Well, I guess everybody's sleeping in this morning, everybody but us, but that's all right. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call or if you have a question or a comment.
So you were saying that it looks like a lot of our people are heeding the call to make a sacrifice of at least a meal or to commit to some time in prayer and preparation for this call for the Solemn Assembly.
Yes. Yes, they are. Just a couple days ago, the April calendar looked a little light, and I think I sent an email out to you and John, to you and Jason, and since then it has filled in a good bit. There's still some days that are certainly open and available that we need to cover for the month of April, but again, we put out that we have called for a fast, for prayer and fasting. Doesn't mean you have to fast every day between now and Branson, but we are asking for people that would pray and fast at least one meal, maybe a couple meals, maybe a day. We've had some people that said, you know, hey, I'll take Fridays. I'll fast every Friday between now and Branson, or every Monday, things like that. We've had some people that have said, hey, I'll fast, you know, through the daylight hours. And so, you know, we encourage you to pray about it. It is a time of drawing near to God. It's a time of confessing our sins to God and drawing near to Him in repentance. And every time, every single time that happened throughout our history, God never turned His back on His people when they did that. He always heard their cries. He always heard their prayer. When His people would pray to Him with a sincere heart, with sincerity, with humility. And so that's what we're doing. We're praying, we're fasting, leading up to Branson, to prepare all of us to draw near to Him, to come to Him in the at least symbolic sackcloth and ashes,
in praying and crying out to Him. And so, if you'll join us with that, we ask you to, we encourage you to. It'll be a blessing to you if you'll do this, to set aside a time to pray and fast, and let us know. You know, we certainly understand the Word tells us that, you know, when you're fasting, not be as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and have, you know, the long drawn face and the moaning and, oh, I haven't eaten in a day, oh. No, that's not what we're asking for at all. But we do ask you to let us know so that we know we've got every day covered and that we know that some part of the remnant is praying and fasting between now and Branson. Well, let's take a couple phone calls. Well, go ahead, John.
Set up two people per day so that if anyone thinks that they're going to call up and take a day and try to break the chain, it's not going to happen.
Right,
and
right.
The other thing is there's men who have committed that if there's no one that will take that day, then they'll take that day. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a couple phone calls here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Tim in Nebraska. The other Tim.
The other Tim. Good morning.
Anyway, I had a question. My wife's at homeschool conference today, so she'll take the makeup day for the Passover, and I'd like to take it with her. Should I take it twice or just wait?
Guys, I'll weigh in. I would say for you to partake of it today, and then partake of it with her as well in 30 days. That makeup day, that's how important Passover is. You can read in 2 Chronicles 30, because that tells of keeping it in the second month. You know, there were some issues then that the people were traveling and couldn't take it, and the people then understood it. They came to Moses and they said, hey, we need to be able to take this as well. You know, we missed out.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so,
you as the covering and as the head, I think, you know.
Well,
for your
I thought so, but I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though. Appreciate that, Tim.
It is.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good day.
All right.
And I think that's important to do is to remind people, too, if they're hearing this broadcast, you know, and say, oh, I heard it, and it's after, you know, it's after April 2nd, 2016. You know, we'll be playing this message throughout the next week. And, you know, you can partake of the Passover 30 days later. I don't even know how many days are in this month. Is there 30 days in this month?
Yeah, it's May. It'll be May 2nd.
It'll be May 2nd?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's when it is.
So, second, same thing.
Yeah.
A second after noon, you'll be able to partake of the Passover the same way. And basically, it's simple. You know, partake of communion, observe it as a Passover.
Yes.
Recognize that this is the Passover day, and I think it's a good idea to it's not a requirement by any means, but it's a good idea to just to spend some time in thinking about what our forefathers went through when they came out of Egypt and how God delivered them and what the Egyptians had to go through to what Pharaoh had to go through to let the children of Israel go. And it's think about what Christ went through on this same day. You know, this has been a historical day for our people. Time and time again, you look at the events that have happened on Passover Day, and it's amazing. I mean, he's used this day, one out of 365, time and time again to deliver his people in different ways, shapes, and forms. And, you know, I know you could go on for, 26 hours talking about how he's, the things that he's done on Passover Day, but it's a day for our people to remember because he uses that day to deliver his people from all kinds of things.
Amen. Amen. Let's try another phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. I had two questions. Oh, sorry. Dee from Oklahoma. I had two questions. What a what is the scriptures that support having communion weekly and not just at Passover?
I'm not sure where it is right now, but the disciples after the death of Christ, when they continued on, they it talks about them gathering on the first day of the week. I don't have it right here in front of me.
Pretty much Paul.
Yeah.
There's nothing like in Matthew or any of the Gospels.
No, because they, you know, he told them when they instituted communion at the Last Supper, he said, "You do this in remembrance of me." And so, you know, that was something that was instituted at the death and after the resurrection of Christ, and they did that. They gathered on the first day of the week, and they partook of communion, and as I think John read earlier, judged themselves rightly, comparing themselves to Christ and not to other men, and partook of the bread that represented his broken body, and the fruit of the cup, the fruit of the vine that represented his blood.
I think God knew that we were a sinful generation, and that each week we're to continue to abide in him,
yes,
confessing our sins, examining ourselves, and that's why he made that provision for communion. I mean, if you were in the Judeo-Christian churches, which I grew up in, Lutheran church, I remember even though I went through confirmation and was supposedly, you know, trying to be this strong Christian, we were playing church, and I remember I used to get upset when I'd see those candles lit, because, oh no, it's another 15 minutes at church. But very few churches that I know of actually take communion seriously and partake of it on a weekly basis. I mean, most of the time they rotate it between services to try to get some of their people to be able to take communion. But they'll let a six-year-old kid take communion, or, you know, or their dog, or whatever. So I think that's something that Pastor Peters realized was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, is that, no, this is to be closed communion, and it's for those that have been born again of the water and the Spirit. And there's power in that communion, in the obedience. It's another step in obedience to Christ, I believe.
Well, and there's a lot of people that over the years that have maintained that communion was a once-a-year deal on Passover. And, you know, I mean, there's different versions. Is the scriptures that you got is as often as you drink this cup, and then as often as you drink bread. You know, we don't know when that is or what that is.
That's true, yeah. Do this in remembrance of me, that's the thing.
And that's what, you know, we're supposed to do it in remembrance of him, and we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, you know, how often are we supposed to do that? You know, I've looked and looked, I don't think that we have I don't think we're told to do it, you know, on a daily basis. I don't think we're told to do it on a bi-daily basis or a weekly basis, a monthly basis. You know, we're told to do it. And, you know, and we know that, you know, that that's what we're supposed to do, and we just try to do the best we can. I do believe, though, that the most important day of the year to be taking it is on Passover.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And if you go on the line and put in Passover date, different, like Jewish groups, or Jews that are now Christians, they've got it like on the 20th, and somebody else has it on the 21st. And
they do.
So what are they doing?
They're calculating it by the lunar calendar, and that is not the calendar that our people used. Pastor addresses that and addressed it in his book Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy in Calculating the Passover, and it's real simple.
Why don't you send that to me, Richard?
I'd be glad to send it to you, Dee. But it's real simple. The new year starts for Adam and his people, for the Israelites, the new year starts on the spring equinox. That's day one of Abib. And that, on our calendar, that's March 20th. That's the spring equinox. That's day one. March 21st is day two. March 23rd is day three, and so on. The Passover is to be on the 14th day of Abib, and that's this evening. We're finishing up knowing that the day starts at noon, 1 o'clock now with our daylight savings time that we're on. And so the 14th day will start in, about 5 hours. And so this afternoon is the 14th day of Abib, and we will observe Passover in the evening, in the twilight of that day. It's based on the spring equinox. It's based on the solar calendar. And Dee, I'll drop that book in the mail to you Monday because it.
And send her the communion book, potential blessings, curses, and needs too, because that does a pretty good job in explaining communion. It's a good read too. Send her that one too.
That's a good idea.
Well, thank you. Did the Jews get off when they went to Babylon? Is that when they changed?
Dee, let me send you the book. We only got about 10 minutes left in the program. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And it addresses that. It addresses
okay.
it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Phone lines are ringing now, folks. Oh, that one, you just got a call back. 307-745-5913. Brother Ralph sent a text in. He said, it says, do this often. Yep, the command for communion was to do this often. Often is usually more than once a year. I like that comment. It is. And I like what you said, Jason. The most important, I think, time to do it is at Passover. It is.
And like you said too, Jason, we don't know when the last Passover is. We don't know. If we'll be able to continue.
Now, I know one thing. I know this one's more important to keep than the one that it was last year.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah we are closer.
I've talked to quite a few. Go ahead.
No, just saying we are closer to his return than we were last year, and therefore it is more important.
In talking to some of the remnant, too, they sense an urgency as well, you know, especially with the Holy Spirit leading of this solemn assembly and this being the door day. There's something significant there.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And like was mentioned, if you hear this broadcast after today, today is April 2nd, if you hear this, we'll replay this Monday night, and you're convicted that, oh, the Passover, I should have kept it. Well, it is that important. Numbers 9 tells, that's where... it's Moses that allows the sons of Israel. God tells him that, hey, there's some that were unclean, there's some that were traveling. If any one of you or your generations becomes unclean because of a dead person or is on a distant journey, he may, however, observe the Passover to the Lord in the second month. On the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. Now, that doesn't mean you say, well, you know, I want to go out drinking tonight, so I'm going to wait till next month. That's not what it talks about. And that's not the application there. But, like our other Tim that called, his wife is traveling and she's away from the home, I think that certainly applies. That there is a Passover makeup day. Or if you just hear this after the original Passover, and maybe it's the first time, or maybe that's when you're convicted, and you realize you missed out. Well, don't miss out on the makeup day. That's how great our God is.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, as the Passover goes from noon on Saturday this year to noon on Sunday, people are going to have a real chance to, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be partaking of the Passover on Sunday and don't even realize it.
Yes.
Good point.
And it's going to be interesting, and I think that we'll have to do that, you know, have a prayer over that and remind people of that on Sunday, too, that as we partake, of it on Sunday that, we will be, that it's still the Passover day when we partake of communion, at least in our neck of the woods. Now, for those that are, farther east to us, it won't be. If we take communion at 12 o'clock here and it's 1 o'clock there, 2 o'clock there, they're still not in the Passover.
Yeah,
but
that's
for a large population, it will be.
Yes, yeah, and that's what we've reminded people on the phone. I've spoke with some people in Florida and on the East Coast. It says to do it in the twilight, So do that. Still, join us for our service. It's going to be dark on the East Coast by the time we have the service tonight. But have your communion, pray, partake of it. Read back in Exodus 12. Read in Numbers 9. Read in 1 Corinthians 10. Read Psalms 91, because this is an entering in where, as it says there, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Why do you think that he mentioned no plague will come near your tent? You think that was you don't think it wasn't to remind them of the plagues of Egypt that came through the death angel that passed over? That came through, and that if there wasn't the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel, the death angel came through and killed the firstborn. That Psalms 91 is to remind us of that. It was then and it is now. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. I claim that. I stand on that promise. I know many of the remnant do. And one thing that allows me to do that, certainly the blood of the Lamb, certainly the blood of the Lamb. And we know that Lamb now is Jesus Christ. He is our Passover. It is His blood that was shed, finally and forever. We don't have to sacrifice another Lamb today. His sacrifice, the other Tim, we talked about it Thursday night on the program. He said, it was the Christ's sacrifice was the sacrifice of sacrifices. It was the final one that needed to be done. And we certainly overcome with that. That blood of the Lamb. They survived then because of it. We survive now because of it. God has not changed. It is that important. It is.
Amen.
We do encourage you also set your cell phone, your watch, your clock. If you don't have any of those, I'm sure you have a friend that does, that can set them at noon. We encourage you to do that and pray at noon. Pray for the remnant. Pray for a revival in the land. Pray for God to open the eyes of His people. We ask you to do that. We're doing what we can here to provide you, the remnant, with these tools, with the direction, with the guidance in what we are to be doing. I bet you hear something tonight along the lines of forgiveness, because that's one of the things we are to do. We read about that throughout the New Testament. I'll put this out here. If you got an issue with one of your brothers, with one of the brethren, settle that. Before you observe the Passover tonight, settle that before you partake of communion tonight. The Bible tells us to do that. That's what we're to do as Christians. Does it mean we forgive the raghead that's over here beheading people? No. But we do our brethren. Take care of things. If you've wronged or been wronged, forgive, ask for forgiveness, whatever it is. Take care of that before you partake of communion tonight. And it'll empower you. It'll draw you nearer to God.
Well, that hour went fast.
It did. It did. Well, again,
it's a redeemed time.
Yeah. It did. Again, another text from Ralph, and I agree with you, brother. Romans 8:1 is still true, and our pastor sure put that out. That's in our Passover paperwork that we put out, and that we send out and have available on the web, that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, Passover is an ordinance, that, an observation that we are to make. But, you know, we hold the baptism. We do. It's where we contact that blood of the Lamb today. We don't have to paint it on the doorpost and the lintels. We contact it when we share in the death of our Lord and Savior, when we are baptized, and that is so that we can share in the glory of His resurrection. Amen. Well, again, Passover service, Saturday evening, April 2nd, 2016, starting at 7 p.m., and you can join us. If you can't join us local, you can join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and we will have a live stream at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's Saturday evening, April 2nd. And then we also encourage you to join us for church on Sunday morning, and that'll be at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And both of those will be at the, you can click on the live streaming icon at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. If you need to call, we're going to be around in and out of the office this morning. If you have questions or comments, the office number, 307-742-7582. If you need to call with questions or comments, and our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Those books we're going to send Dean, Oklahoma, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy and Calculating the Passover, and the Communion, its Blessings and Curses and Need. You can also look at those at the website, same website, scripturesforamerica.org. Well, John, I'm looking forward to your message this evening. And men, thanks for joining us. Remnant, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the text this morning. And guys, we'll see you down at the church this evening.
Amen, Lord willing.
Amen.
Rolling, stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.